Good morning, guys. Hey, if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open up to Colossians chapter 4. And if you're online, head there as well. Glad you could join us. And as you guys are turning there, everybody in the room falls into one of these categories. You're in here today. You're a seasoned veteran of the faith. And what we're going to cover today is going to be some review for you. But we don't want to move past that too quickly, because it's easy for us to just receive that information and go, I already know that. What else you got? But don't do that. Don't let that happen. This is a good reminder today, a good refresher course. Some of you in here, you may be in a slump, or you may be newer to the faith. And so what I'm about to preach through today is going to be putting a new tool into your hand. And you're going to go, all right, now I got something that I can use. This is going to be super helpful for you guys. Some of you in here, you went to breakfast with your friend and they're like, hey, I just got to stop by somewhere, and you're here. And you may not know Jesus yet. You may thought, hey, where are we going? Is it a run, a bike? Church. Welcome. So glad that you're here. Not sure where you're at if you're tuning in online, but if you're here and you do not yet know Jesus, we're very excited that you're here, and we want you to see the heart of God today and what he invites us into. And so for all of us in here, there is incredible information that's going to be shared with us that Paul wrote down so that we could be transformed. All right, so just a brief review of where we've been. In Colossians, you have two chapters that were, let's go all the way back here. The letter was actually written to this newer church in Colossae. Paul had never been there, never met these guys, sends a letter because there's some people that are either coming or they've already been there and they're now getting in involved in this church, teaching that there's Jesus plus other ideologies and philosophies. Paul sends this letter into that church and says, no, that's not what's going down. There is Jesus and Jesus alone. And for two chapters, he unpacks this over and over and over, talking about the supremacy of Christ, that all things were made by him, for him, and through him. And so that was true back in AD 60 or 70, and it's true here in 2021. Amen? Like, this is truth, that Jesus is enough, that wherever our heart desires, all of that can be found in him. Everything that our heart desires. And so he has been unpacking that for two chapters. Then Paul then gives us this amazing reality that you take those theological realities and you apply them into life. And you can take those things and you take these theological realities and you set your focus on Jesus, that wherever he is, that's what matters. Don't get all caught up with this stuff, because what's happening where he is profoundly affects here. The old way goes. And then he talks about the new self. And that new self has a different way of going about life. And that new self begins to be rooted and established in our life. And what happens is we begin to dwell richly in the Word of God, because we hunger for that. That's where truth is, and we want more of that. That new self also begins to worship God and begins to pattern their life after the footsteps of Jesus. That new self then takes all of these things into account, and it begins radically transforming every area of our life. Last week, we talked about how the new self, when we take on all of those things that Jesus has equipped us to walk through life with, as we worship and honor him, as we walk in these ways, then what happens is it radically transforms the marriage. Husband and wife begin to interact with each other differently. When the new self begins to take root in our life, then parent and child relationships are different. They're better. And in the employer-employee space, the new self begins to show itself there, and that becomes a place where God is honored. And so we see this over and over and over again. This new self, as it begins rooting itself in our lives, things change. One other thing here, at the beginning here of chapter 4, we begin to see that the new self also displays itself by engaging in this new language, that it's no longer about everything that we've always wanted, us calling the shots, depending on our own wisdom, depending on our own understanding. Now we're entering into this space where we engage with God, We go vertical with God, and we engage in this new language. This new self is engaged in prayer. We're no longer just receiving information, receiving things from God, but now we're a participant in the story. That's what prayer is. It's involving ourselves in the unfolding plans and purposes of God. Now, you throw the word prayer out there, and right away, that can kind of give us a case of the guilties, right? You throw that word out there, and it's just like, oh, you know, because none of us, right? I mean, none of us have ever met anybody that ever came and kind of, you know, came into a relationship with us that says, you know what? Like, I have been so faithful with prayer. Like, the amount of intensity that Scripture calls me into, I have been full, like, all the way in. None of us have ever met that person, have we? Like, that's just one of those things that you're like, there's always something that there could be more. Or when we're asked about our own prayer life, somebody's like, well, how's it going for you? How's prayer going for you? We kind of back away. You know, it's like the spiritual equivalent of going to the doctor's office or the dentist's office, you know, and they're like, so how's diet and exercise going for you? How's flossing going? And you just kind of are like, I could do better, you know, like I could do better. And we're like super apologetic in those spaces. You know what I mean? Like we're inconsistent in those spaces because prayer is hard. Right? It's a very hard thing. There's a bunch of reasons why I think prayer begins to be this kind of mystery and we struggle with it and we're trying to engage and there are things that go on all over the place and we're trying to piece it all together. Like if your story is similar to mine, chances are when you came to faith in Christ that nobody talked to you about here's what prayer is. Here's how to pray and discipled you through that so that you got really good at it. You knew when to pray and all of the intricacies of prayer and all that it envelops this word called prayer, right? Who walked you through that? Generally, people don't do that. We just know we're supposed to do that, right? It's like, oh, I'm now following Jesus. I guess I should pray. And this person over here prays a certain way. This person over here prays a different way. This person over here prays in the morning super early and you're like, I'm out, you know, and this person goes really late and you're like, I like to go to bed early. Then there are people all in the space in between where they're like, you know, like there's things that are about prayer that I just am constantly weaving in and out, and you're like, I'm super busy. There's no way that I could just kind of dot in and out. I'll lose my train of thought and then everything will go, you know, wheels off for me. So I can't do that. And so there's all of these disciplines with prayer and they're all over the map and you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? Or maybe somebody handed you a book and you're like, read the book. And you're like, I'll read the book. And then somebody else says, have you read this one? Have you heard of this blog? Have you gone to this website? All over the map. And you're like, well, that's good. And that's good. And that's good. And so you keep adding stuff to the pile and you're just like, pretty soon it gets a little bit overwhelming, right? Has anybody been there? I've been there. That you're like, well, I guess I'm supposed to include all of this? You know, or maybe you treat prayer like a 911 call. It's only in case of emergency. And you're like, well, that's when I pray. Like when everything's going south, I'm like, God help. You know, or maybe you've been in church just long enough to pick up a little bit of phrases. You know, here's a phrase over here. That person prayed that and you kind of string them all together. And you're like, there, I'm praying. That's what I'm doing. This is great. This is great. I mean, prayer is a very confusing thing. And I think about my story. My story, I didn't grow up in the church. I went to church one time when I was a kid. And so didn't pray, didn't engage in that way. I didn't know what to do, didn't ever pray. That just wasn't part of my story. And one of my earliest memories of prayer was when I was in high school on the football team. And right before we were getting ready to go rip the other guy's head off, we would pray. You know, you watch those movies where it's like the football team and they're like, all right, everybody, we're getting ready to go out there and we're going to win. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven. You know, and I was like, let's go get them. You know, and it makes sense that you would pray before you go blow somebody up, right? Like you're like, aha, I'm going to take him down. They're going to find out what next week looks like when I take him there. Like it makes sense that like that there's no continuity as far as what prayer should be and how it should flow, right? It's a very, very confusing place, and prayer can easily become confusing, and then we resort to using prayer in a way that maybe God never intended, because we're confused, we're frustrated, We may disengage because we don't really know how. And just talking about it right now in a very pointed way kind of makes it feel like it's something that we're supposed to do, rather than embracing it as an opportunity that God invites us into and that we get to do that. Get to spend time with the creator of the universe. And check it out, how this all plays out. I mean, this is really pretty staggering if you stop and think about it. You can pray audibly. You can be in a smaller group. You can pray audibly in a space like this. We can pray audibly as we're driving the car. We can pray audibly at home with our family. All kinds of ways we can pray in that space, in those spaces, and do it audibly. But not only that, but we can sit in the quietness of our seat, where we're at right now, or driving, or with our family, on the beach, in the mountains, wherever, and quietly in your head pray, and God can still know our thoughts, and we can connect with him. This is amazing. This is amazing. Like, he invites us into these spaces, and so it's essential for us as we get ready to dive into this subject, which is so vast, it could be a series in and of itself, and I'm not going to be able to unpack everything, but there's a few things in these verses that all of us need to go all in on that will reveal some really, really amazing things about prayer. And so this idea of prayer, when you distill it all down and you get really, you get right to the core of it, you get really, really focused on it, here's what prayer really is. It's this growing, deepening dynamic where we are deepening our relationship. We're growing more intimate with our Heavenly Father. That's it in a nutshell. Just a deeper, richer, more dependent relationship with Him. He's inviting us into that space, that there was a day when the old self was ruling, when you were calling the shots. You depended on your own wisdom. You depended on your own understanding. Now the new self is taking place, and there's this new language, this new engagement, this invitation to walk in a deepening, dependent relationship with God. All right, so that's where we're at. If you have your Bible, Colossians chapter 4, and look at where Paul takes us today, that just gives us a snapshot of a little more about prayer. And I'm going to read through this, and then we'll start pulling some things out of here that will help us to focus in on what God has for us in this amazing letter. Verse 2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." So let's go back to verse 2. Continue steadfastly. That word steadfastly, other versions say devote. Like, in other words, be devoted to this. And we devote our things to all kinds of things, don't we? I remember when Gina and I, we'd been married for about 10 years or so, and we were done with apartment life, and we devoted ourselves to getting out of apartment life and buying a house. And so we devoted ourselves so much to that, where we began looking at all of these different ways that we could save money here, save money there, not do this, go over here, save some money with that, so that we could put a down payment on a house. We were devoted to that, and because of that devotion, we ended up getting our first home. My kids have shown that they have been devoted to things. They have been devoted to getting better grades or cranking out a paper so that they could get into the school they wanted, or to get a better grade on whatever paper or test they were taking. We see devotion all the time in athletics. Many of us will tune into, in a couple months, some people will be, they've so devoted themselves to their sport, and they will be gunning for the gold medal in Japan in the Olympics. We'll tune into that. And all of these athletes, they have been zeroed in on, devoted to this reality of, this is something I want. This is something I'm going after. And we see Paul bring this word into our view very deliberately. He's very deliberate, because devotion means you're going deeper. And that's what he's inviting us into. He's saying, I want you to go deeper into this, because we have to grab hold of this reality that prayer is not a spiritual luxury. And sometimes we treat it that way. I know I do. But prayer is not a spiritual luxury. Actually, it is essential for our spiritual growth. If we're going to advance in our relationship, then we need to be devoted to prayer. And that's a very, very clear word from Paul here to the Colossians. And then here we are in 2021. God saw fit that this letter would make it down. And here we are saying the same things. Be devoted to this because it develops that relationship with our Heavenly Father. It causes us to depend on Him more and more. And now I throw that out there and some of you are like, oh, great. You have just now given me something else to do that I'm not very good at. And so I come to church trying to be encouraged. Now you're telling me I need to do something more. And so got it. All right, I'll check that box too. That's not what I'm doing here. Do not feel a heavy weight where you walk out of here and it's like, oh, great, now I need to get better at prayer, something I've never been good at. But if I'm actually going to grow, this needs to happen. And some of us enter into these kinds of religious activities and we think, if I pray, if I read my Bible, if I go to church, if I serve, all of these things are going to show that God is, they're going to show God I mean business and God's going to be more happy with me. Not true. Not true. We don't do these things so that God will love us. We engage in these spaces because He does and we want to walk with Him because His way is good. What He invites us into is life and freedom. We don't perform for Him. And I love what one pastor always says. He says, God's not in love with a future version of you. He loves you now. He loves you now. You don't perform your way into a right relationship with Him. He accepts you, loves you, and invites you in because of what Jesus has done on your behalf. It is not you doing good as if you can do enough. Jesus already did. Message number one of Colossians. He is supreme in all things. He has everything covered, all right? So we need to just engage in this way because, guys, this is a mindset shift. It's flipping the switch to put on the new self, and we're coming to God, and we're leaning into that relationship, devoting ourselves just like we would devote ourselves to something that we wanted, okay? So that's this invitation. And it's staggering to think what you've been invited into and what I've been invited into, what we have been invited into, because we have 24/7, 365-day access to the God of the universe who sits on a throne right now. And when you pray and when I pray, He actually hears our prayers. It's not just some religious activity that we do to make ourselves feel better, but He invites us in that we, these little people on this dot in this massive universe that He has created, that when we speak to Him, He hears it. He engages with us. God Himself engages with us, which leads us to the end of verse 2 that says that we should continue steadfastly in prayer with thanksgiving. We ought be overwhelmingly thankful to God who just invites us in all the time. It breeds this idea that it's like an overflowing thankfulness, this appreciation beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. We're just like, man, God, thank you for letting me come into your throne room all the time, whenever. You can wake up in the middle of the night, you can get up in the morning, anytime during the day, all night, He's always there. And that ought to lead us to a place of thankfulness. So there we've covered five words, and there's so much in just those five words, but there's actually some more that He unpacks for us in this one word that is camped out there in verse 2 that is so key that I think really speaks to our lack of devotion. So let's go there. In verse 2, it says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. That word watchful is a huge word. In the original language, that means to be on alert or to be awake. And that's one of the obstacles that presents itself that oftentimes we don't go with the intensity that we should into prayer. And to quote Pastor John Piper, he said this, one of the reasons that we don't engage in this intense prayer, this focused prayer, a continual prayer, is he said we live with a peacetime mentality. We live with a peacetime mentality. For the most part, we're caught up in the responsibilities of the day-to-day, aren't we? That this has to be done. I've got to finish this. I've got to go here. Got to pick up the kids. I got a busy weekend, a busy week. I got this at the job. I got this at the house. All these things can lull us into a spiritual drowsiness, and it can be really hard to see what we're wrapped up in. We can lose sight of it just like that. And yet, what God is revealing to us is like, hey, we need to come awake to the reality and be mindful and be watchful in our prayer, because there's a whole bunch of stuff going down, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff going down in the spiritual realm, and we're in the middle of a big, massive spiritual battle. And I don't have time to unpack the spiritual battle that's going on, and I'm not even sure I could do it adequately, because there is so much in there. But here's what I do know. If you want to flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, here's what we're told about what is going on right now. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In other words, don't you think you're going off into battle on your own? That would be a big mistake. Big mistake. But you're going in following him. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So you follow him into battle. Where he's working, you go there. You don't blaze a trail over here and go, come on, God, I'm going over here. He doesn't do that. He's doing things. He's working a plan. We join him in that work, so then we be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not ours. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not you versus them, or this leader on the other side of the planet, or that politician, or whatever. It's not us versus them. It's not going on in this planet. This is right here from Scripture. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand it in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Skip down to verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert, and with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. In other words, just keep praying for people who believe. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And not only that, like that's going on right now. That's a 24/7 deal too. We are in the middle of a battle, and we're in the crossfire. We have God, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing God, and the enemy of God and his army, and they're going at it, and we're in the middle, constantly finding ourselves in the crosshairs. That's going on. Got to awaken to that reality. But not only that, but 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that that our enemy is like a prowling lion going around seeking someone to devour. He wants to pick us off one by one. He's not interested in distracting us. He's not interested in frustrating you. He's not interested in just giving you a bad day. His goal is to take you out, to destroy you. That's what's going on. And we need to awaken to this reality, which means we really don't have the luxury of living with a peacetime mentality, do we? We don't have that luxury, which is why Paul is saying here, like, be watchful in this. Be aware of what is going on around you. And he ties that to Ephesians. Pray at all times. It's bringing this idea to bear that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, from the time we wake up until the time we go to sleep, and if we wake up in the middle of the night for whatever reason, that we are just constantly finding ourselves right on the verge of a conversation with God, that we're like, hey, this is going on, and I want to talk to you, God. I want to engage with you, God. I want to know what you think. I want to hear your heart. And he welcomes us in to share what's going on in our world, the concerns, the frustrations, the excitement, the way that we feel about him. He invites that. That's what we get to do with him. It's basically just saying, whatever's going on in life, I am going to take that to you, God. I'm going to take it to you. I get to take it to you. And then look at this prayer. Look at the things that we get to take to God. And I want you, as we look at this in Colossians chapter 1, Imagine if this was said of us, Mosaic Church, that you would pray for somebody in this room, and that people in your community, that you would be praying for these people. You'd be praying for your neighbors for this. If you're a parent, you would pray for your children. If you're a husband, that you would pray for your wife. If you're a wife, you would pray for your husband. If you have kids, that you would pray for your kids. And kids, you would pray this for your parents. And if you're a leader in your space where you work, that you would pray this for your employees. And employees, that you would pray this over the people that lead you. Imagine if the new self so took root in our lives that this began to be the way that we were known. This is the things that we were doing and asking God to move. In Colossians chapter 1, it starts out in verse 9, and so from the day we heard, so when Paul and Timothy heard about the Colossian church, they're like, here's what we did. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Anybody in here want to know what God's will is? Could you imagine if somebody was praying that for you? God, that you would move unmistakably so that they would know your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so you would know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. That would be groundbreaking, wouldn't it? If we were praying that for each other, engaging in each other's lives in this way. And then he continues on, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that if Jesus were in our very shoes, we would walk in that way, that we would resemble him so much that this would be what is known of us. That would be incredible. Fully pleasing to him, not partially pleasing, not sometimes pleasing, but 100% capped off, all in, fully pleasing to him. That would be a life that I would love to be a part of. I would love to see that happen. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That everything that we do, we would see eternal ramifications play out. That we would be so thrilled to begin to see God work unmistakably, and that people would grow in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. How much power does God have? He's got it all. And he makes that available to you and to me and to us, his church. And he says, let's have that come to bear, that we would actually get to see all of that, that we would be strengthened in that way. For all endurance, patience, and joy. Anybody want any of that? Anybody want to be enduring, patient, joyful? Right here, imagine if we were praying that for each other, our community, our neighbors, our relationships. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. Guys, this is what we get to do. This is what we've been invited into, and that we would be so quick to recognize the power and the presence of God, recognizing he can do more in 5 flat seconds than we can do in year after year after year after year after year after year, dot, 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 dot. It keeps going. All that toil, he can do it just like that and change eternity. And that's who we get to walk with. This dynamic, deepening, dependent relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what we're going for. And look at his response when we come to him. Proverbs 15:8 tells us this: the prayer of the upright is his delight. Delight. That is his response when we come to him. He's like, yes, you're back. Oh, I love hanging out with you. This is my favorite thing. I love to be with you. I love to share with you my heart, my way, my freedom, my life, my purpose, my will. And I love to hear what's bogging you down. I love to hear your adoration of me. I love to hear how you're connecting with me. I love to hear what you're struggling with. I love to hear the good, the bad, and everything in between. I just love it. I delight in you. This is our God. This is our God who we celebrate. This is the God of the Bible. He delights in hearing from us. Paul was well aware. He was an Old Testament scholar. He would have known about this proverb, and this is the position he finds himself in. He's reminding us of this. And so he has now taught us, this is how to pray. You pray, you devote yourself to prayer. You're watchful in it. And then I love how he just switches gears so quick. And then he says, here's how you can pray. Here's some things and how you can pray. Verses 3 and 4 in chapter 4. He says this. At the same time, pray also for us, that would be Paul and Timothy, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Now, I love that. It's like he said, okay, here's how to pray, and now what? So in other words, while you're at it, you know, since you're going to be devoted to it and you're going to be watchful in it, since you're going to be praying, then pray for these things. Pray for these things. And what he is praying for is so amazing, because he's not like, hey, pray that I could kind of get out of jail here. So he's in prison. He's like, hey, pray so I can get out of here and then I can go do the things that I want to do. No, he's saying, I want you guys to pray. And I love that he says that the doors would open. The doors, he is locked behind closed doors, but he is well aware that the gospel will never be locked down. It always goes forth and prayer, bears good fruit. And so he's like, pray that that gospel would make its way out and it would land on the ears and affect the hearts of the people who need to hear it. Pray for this. And so do you see, no longer is it just, I'm learning about prayer, I'm receiving things about prayer. Now you're a participant in it. Now you're praying for things in ways that you may have never thought of, that you could pray that the gospel would go forth, that people who do not yet know Jesus would hear about him, and that it would land on fertile soil and that seed would take deep root, and the same new self that is in you that is now bearing fruit would be the same new self that could then erupt in their life, and they could experience the same things that you know. And we do this not as some kind of project, but it's an engagement with people because we love people, because God loves people. We engage with people, we serve people, we love people. We take the low space and we're like, how can I serve? How can I engage? How can I let, how can I make sure and let people know who Jesus is and what he has done? And I want them to know the same God that I know. This is the heart of Paul right here. And we get to participate in that side of things. So that new life that he is unpacking in chapter 3, he begins to say that too can be experienced by people in your spheres of influence. He's telling that to the Colossians, and here we are in 2021 getting the same instruction, the same invitation. And there's all kinds. So this is an intercessory prayer where we intercede, where we pray for other people, and we get to be a participant in that. There's all kinds of different prayers. Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of confession, prayers of adoration. There's prayers asking God for things, prayers of faith. But all of them are designed to deepen and lean us into, cause us to depend more on our Heavenly Father. And so we're invited into the space to devote ourselves to that, to really go after it. And to respond in faith to the invitation that God is giving us. And to be watchful in it. To pay attention to what's going on, recognizing we are in a spiritual battle. And we would come awake to the reality that we cannot live with a peacetime mentality. And that we can engage in this constant conversation. That it's always, we're just always on the verge of a conversation with God. So when something good happens, we're able to just say, man, God, thank you for protecting and providing. When something hard happens, we're like, God, would you give me wisdom in this so that I can walk in a manner worthy of the gospel? And all the things in between where we're just thankful and praying for wisdom and praying for the people in our lives and just constantly just engaging with him. That's the invitation that you have. That's the invitation I have. We as the church get to do this. And so those of you who are seasoned veterans, don't just check out and go, I already knew that. Let's be people who actually go deeper. And we're like, okay, I'm reminded. Thank you for that reminder. Paul put it in here for a reason, led by the Spirit. So here we are extracting that. Extract all you can out of that. Okay, go deeper. Lead people well into that space. For those of you who may be in a slump, or maybe you're newer to the faith, there's some tools in there, right? Now you can put them into work for you. Kind of lean into those so that relationship with God is deeper and more dependent on him. And then for those of you who are not yet following Jesus, you've got questions. just know that you can learn more. If you have questions, anything, we have a prayer wall here at the end of our gathering. And so we want to engage in prayer, because this has been something we've been serious about now for a couple years. Remember back in 2019, it's like, this is going to be the year of prayer. And so when 2019 was over, we stopped. No, it's like, no, we don't do that. You know, it's like, oh, what's on 2020? Are we going to continue to pray, or are we going to do something else? No, it's prayer, and we keep praying, and we get stronger and stronger and stronger. And so 2019, we started this focus on prayer. So we have people. Do you know that every time we gather in here, there are people out in the hallway that are praying for us in here? That the word of truth would land on fertile soil and that would grow into eternal fruit. That goes on. We have prayer cards. You can utilize those, and the prayer team will pray for you. And imagine if we just stepped up our game here and devoted, were watchful, and just saw God do amazing things. Imagine what would happen amongst the thousands here and online and at our Disney campus. And imagine what could happen as we step into this invitation. So I could keep talking about prayer. We can make a series out of it. I could unpack more stuff that's in here. But rather than me continuing to talk about prayer, why don't we do this? Why don't we do what Scripture says and no longer just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word? And so we're going to engage in a prayer time. It's going to be guided by Pastor Zach. And so he's going to come out, and we're just going to actually just hang out with God. Who's ready to do that? How would you like to hang out with Jesus for a little while? All right, let's do it.
Yeah, let's spend some time praying together. Man, it's just an incredible, incredible word for us in the book of Colossians. You know, Dave spent some time not only talking about Colossians 4, those couple of verses, but he looked back at Colossians chapter 1, where Paul tells the church in Colossae that I'm praying for you, and he says what he was praying for. He tells them what I'm praying for you as a church. And then now, as we studied today in Colossians 4, he's saying, now I want you to pray for me. Like, it's this reciprocating effect of, I'm going to pray for you, and I need you to pray for me. And I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to pray for me, and we're going to pray for each other. That's what the church gets to do together. We get to pray together and for one another. And so we're going to look back at Colossians 1, those things that Paul is praying for the church, and we're going to pray that for us. The way that we're going to do that is there's going to be three different sections of those few verses, those five verses or so, that we've kind of adapted into make it an easy prayer for us to pray. And each one of those sections, one at a time, we're going to put on the screen for you to be able to read and to pray, and then to expound, give you some time to expound on that prayer. Let that prompt in your heart through the power of the Spirit a prayer that is your own to the Lord. And then we'll go to the next section, pray that together, go to the next section, pray that together. And at the end, we'll all stand together and voice this prayer collectively together as the church, praying for one another. So with that said, let's look at this first section of prayer and pray this together. Let's pray this next section together. And then let's pray this final section before we voice it all together. Amen. God hears us today. So let's stand together and let's lift our voices and pray this together collectively as the church, praying that God would do these things in us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of you and fully pleasing to you. May we bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of you, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. We give thanks to you, for you have qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. You have delivered us from the domain of darkness, and you have transferred us to the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Amen. That's good news, church. It's good.